because we can have technology do a lot of that grind work and we can fact check it. And then what's really exciting, in my opinion, is at some point you can then scale that type of advice to people who are not receiving it currently, which we talk about a lot, that the literacy within the United States when it comes to financials and financial information is low. But then that means we can now start becoming educators and prompting that and getting people into good, healthy ways that previously within our space didn't have access to it, because unfortunately it benefited the wealthy. But everybody should have financial literacy. It is a power, and that empowerment can lead to more economic growth. And that to me is why I'm excited about technology and how it could be used.
Welcome to Critical Thinking Required, hosted by LBW. This podcast is intended for free thinkers, entrepreneurs, and knowledge seekers. Join us as we discuss relevant financial topics, explore with guests their financial journeys, and engage with experts in industries such as space, media and entertainment, real estate, and many more. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Critical Thinking Required. You're with your host, myself, Tim Bickmore, and I got my partner in crime here, Gary Grosskopf. But today what we want to talk about is ChatGPT and Google Bard and how it's going to potentially change the financial planning industry and what are the implications.
This is part two of the episode.
So the next topic on our list here, ChatGPT and both Google Bard wanted to have us discuss potential concerns and limitations of using ChatGPT in financial planning. I think we did hit a couple before.
We did. So what was interesting about this one too, Gare, is that ChatGPT did not provide examples, but Google Bard did, which is interesting. So I think we fit some of these, but we can run through them. I'd love to see if you have any opinions, like make mistakes that could be lead to financial losses.
That is a good one. And I think Ying kind of brought up a subject to us before, is hallucinations could bring up, you could say, hey, Bard, is right now a good time to exit the market?
Yeah, that's a great one.
So if you say during COVID, when the market dropped and you ask ChatGPT, is now a good time to get out of the market? Depending on its advice, you could have a large loss by dropping in at the bottom of that market and missing the large high that ensued afterwards.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good example, Garrett. And to like take that a step further, which would make me more nervous, is that if someone did exit the market, wrote to ChatGPT or Google Bard or some sort of language, they told them to get out, they did. And then at some point they wrote to it again and said, is it a good time to get back in? And let's say they got back in, and let's say it was good timing. Then they think that ChatGPT and Google Bard are the best.
Right. They're reassured.
You're reassured of the luck.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, scary. It's like playing a slot machine. It's
you hit it once.
You hit it once. You're like, yeah, it's
coming back.
Yeah.
So I like that one. The question of in and out of the market. What about be biased in its advice, which could lead to people making poor financial decisions, which is contradictive of the pros of unbiased advice.
And like I mentioned before, it biased in advice, like I mentioned, the life insurance thing, biased in whether the market is healthy or not. Even looking at the banks, I mean, using news about banks, it could have some of that that media shock lead into its answers.
It's true.
Which could cause people to pull money out of banks, which could just be a self-fulfilling prophecy of people making runs on banks.
Yes, yes. And to hit on Gary's point and add to it, if anybody really wants to learn more about that kind of nuance, which I would be so curious, Robert Shiller wrote a beautiful book, Narrative Economics. And I wonder if ChatGPT, based off your example, same with Google Bard, could enhance this idea of a narrative and even push it further than it already is. Like Google has, you can see like, you know, Google searches and like certain words spike in certain times. And then you can compare that to market returns. And it's quite interesting to see how that works. And they had gone back in narrative economics, I believe, to even headlines and papers. So now if you think about the quickness of information that is coming and now the quickness in which we can see it, research it real time, could enhance that narrative or that self-fulfilling prophecy, which is very potentially concerning.
And we already see that kind of with robo-advisors and people's access to trading by themselves. A lot of that reactivity comes just from people reading things in the news, seeing articles, seeing just reading the headlines and acting real fast.
Yes.
It could just, it seems like a snowball effect.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here's a good one, Gary. The last one on here. Not be able to understand all of the nuances of a person's financial situation, which could lead to bad advice.
Well, as you stated before, humans are humans. Humans do human things. And they're very hard to predict.
Yes, we are hard to predict. Humans are hard to predict. And we have a lot of experience with that. And the one thing that we say here a lot, and it is reinforced, and I can say that it's been reinforced, not in the luck way that we talked about, but reinforced over 7.5, I mean, really, honestly, 10 years plus, over a decade, is that life changes and life changes fast. In the sense that your situation changes, your decisions on why you've made decisions change, you mature, that maturity creates different values and goals, which then changes what you're going to do financially. And that comes quickly. You lose your job when you weren't expecting it. That comes without notice, right? There are death in the family, right? Death of a loved one, you know, a medical concern that was completely and utterly unexpected. And I cannot tell people enough how much that actually happens, which comes back to the nuance. And the nuance is important because the nuance is really what's going to help make people make decisions. I think at LBW, we are very big believers of this, that small decision-making over time makes up the totality of a plan. Mm-hmm. So breaking it down into single decisions as time goes on is the best plan to do, but it doesn't mean you know where you're going to be in the future. Just knows where you are today and what you can do today. But positioning yourself appropriately for tomorrow is important. And really what that is kind of core fundamentally talking about is the nuance to life and to be able to adapt to the nuance to life. And that is our job to understand the nuance of individuals and people. But that does not mean we can't have this type of technology make it better, more accurate, and speed up what we're doing. 100% behind that. But for people in general to go and ask questions, what's interesting is speaking about this with others, specifically in the healthcare industry, I was saying, this kind of makes me nervous for our industry a little bit, right? Like some of this stuff is can be really cool, right? If we aren't a part of it or can't get ahead of it. And the answer that I got back from that is the person said, Tim, I agree with you. It is nervous. But he's like, but I also disagree with you because we've experienced this in healthcare. And what is the biggest thing that we've learned? It's like, what? He said, it is all about the question which you ask. And people don't ask the right questions, which means you need somebody to ask the right question to that data. Mm-hmm. So Gary and I and the team were talking about earlier about where information has gone from, going from the library and looking up, right, how to find information, to today we're asking essentially the world's knowledge questions now. And getting responses. Now it's time to find out the nuance and understand the details to make sure that the information you are receiving is actually accurate and applies to your situation. So you could start asking it questions, and those may not be the answers that you really want or the answers you're seeking, or they could be incorrect. But how do you not know that? Or how do you know that without doing a lot of work on it? Like, I could go and chat GPT about a car and use Gary's example. Hey, something's wrong with my car. Tell me a bunch of things. Be like, great. I have no idea if any of this is right.
Right.
And Gary be like, this is dumb. And here's why. Because I fixed 1,000 cars and I know exactly what it is. Oh, by the way, Tim, you have a rock in your, you know, AC tube and that's why it's leaking. Okay. ChatGPT told me my car was completely broken and I needed to, you know, rip it out and fix it. Right. Like, that's the power of knowing what to ask, how to ask, and diagnosing appropriately. But that doesn't mean it can't speed up the diagnosis process.
Correct. We're
understanding.
We're almost going to move from doing all the grinding research work that we do a lot of to fact-checking that grinding research and making sure that that is accurate.
Applying it to the situation.
Making sure it's not hallucinating.
Yes. Is this hallucinating? And then how can we apply? And it could make things better because it might be things that we haven't thought about. It could be, you know, I've heard a lot of people using ChatGPT or Google Bard to enhance their work efforts. because it's like, hey, I haven't thought about this. And so it's a creative process. It's enhancing what they're already doing, but it's enhancing it from a speed, potential accuracy, but they're still fact checking. They're still understanding. They're making sure that the information they're receiving is accurate, right? But it just helps with that overall process. Garrett, I know that we had a couple other things on our outline, but we probably should jump to conclusion because we talked about a lot. And I think we've hit a lot of the other things that they were looking at, implications and examples and things like that.
Yes, I think so. So the conclusion is really that, as Bart and Bula have given us, to recap these main points, which I think is, this is very fresh. Mm-hmm. This is kind of Wild West. Mm-hmm. We're learning a lot of stuff really fast. We're learning about a lot about the human condition and technology. We highlighted some of these potential benefits, and I think it could really change a lot of different industries, and especially ours, where human-to-human advice plays in.
Yeah. And I think Gary's right. I think that's a good summary. The thing that I would add to it is what Gary was mentioning just a minute ago, was that what it really is allowing for, I think, advisors to do is be good at what humans are good at, which is speaking to other humans and understanding that information and relaying it in a more receptive way, but also getting the nuance, because we know that this individual just had someone pass and this happened in their life. And in regardless of their risk tolerance and what the academia says, like, it's just, that's not going to work because they're not going to implement. So if I always like to tell Gary and the team, we can come up with the coolest, most badass strategies that walk this earth. But if the person on the other side of that doesn't execute, then it's just as bad as the crap strategy that we're going to put together. Mm-hmm. So, and that's understanding people, and that can allow us to do more of that and to help people and to be there for people, because we can have technology do a lot of that grind work and we can fact check it. And then what's really exciting, in my opinion, is at some point you can then scale that type of advice to people who are not receiving it currently, which we talk about a lot, that the literacy within the United States when it comes to financials and financial information is low. But then that means we can now start becoming educators and prompting that and getting people into good, healthy ways that previously within our space didn't have access to it, because unfortunately it benefited the wealthy. It benefited the people that hold the assets, and the people who hold the assets is a small population of the United States. But everybody should have financial literacy. It is a power, and that empowerment can lead to more economic growth, can lead to better situations for different people, families, demographics. And that, to me, is why I'm excited about technology and how it could be used, because at the end of the day, everybody should have a good Gary GPT.
And Tim G.
There you go. Or Caroline, Kennedy, Dan, Nathaniel, and Ying, and Kyle, who's our current intern, and all the other interns that have come before them. Just to throw that all out there for everybody.
Yes.
So, all right. Thank you guys for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. And thank you, ChatGPT, OpenAI, Google, and Google Bard for putting together our outline today. Mm-hmm. Talk to you soon.
Like and subscribe.
Thank you for taking the time to start your journey of thinking differently and listening to LBW talk about stuff they love. Until next time. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only, and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual, on any specific security, on any specific broker-dealer or custodian. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments, broker-dealer or custodian may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. All opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own and do not reflect the opinion of Leach, Bickmore, and Weiss Wealth Management, LLC. Leach, Bickmore, and Weiss Wealth Management, LLC is a registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Leach, Bickmore, and Weiss Wealth Management, LLC and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Leach, Bickmore, and Weiss Wealth Management, LLC unless a client service agreement is in place.